Good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. So today I'm here to talk about a little bit cover crops and why we use cover crops, why I'm here today talking about cover crops. We listened in some talks previously about cover crops, and I think we all understood pretty much all the benefits that cover crops can provide in our agriculture system. And I don't want to be repetitive, but I'm just going to list some benefits that a cover crop can offer for farmers. So cover crops can decrease soil erosion caused by wind and water, can increase organic matter as a nutrient recycling, can fix nitrogen when you're talking about legume cover crops. It has an effect on the soil temperature when we actually cover crops can decrease the highest temperature in the soil. So when it happens, we decrease the amplitude, which makes a not good condition for wheat seed germination. Water quality, cover crops can increase the water quality in our soil by allowing the water get infiltrating the soil better and keep the moisture better when we compare with fields without cover crops. And the purpose of these, talk is provide weed control, which is the major field of my research. When we put all together these benefits, we can actually get a potential yield increase. The NRCS through the USDA through the NRCS provide now a new program for farmers, which is basically it's providing funding for those farmers who want to use cover crops. So they calculated a cost when we use cover crops, terminating cover crops with herbicide, and then with mechanical. This is the cost that they calculated, and they are willing to pay 6% of these costs for those farmers who want to use cover crops. So when we put together all those benefits that we talked before, we faced a scenario like this, where in 2009 we had about 140,000 acres planted with cover crops, and we went to almost 380,000 acres planted with cover crops in 2013. So the importance of this study, since most of the cover crops are sown immediately after the summer crop, and to achieve all the benefits that we talked before, we need to get a good establishment. Like Matthew Wiggins said before, there is a great correlation between biomass and weed control. So higher biomass is going to lead for a better weed control. And with that being said, we need to consider the risk of herbicide carryover to subsequent cover crop. So the hypothesis of these studies, over a wide range of cover crops, there will be some that exhibit tolerance to low rates of herbicides commonly used in Arkansas row crops. An objective is evaluate the sensitivity of cover crops to residual herbicide commonly applied to summer crops. So now we're going to get into the Mathurin's methods. So a field study was conducted in the fall of 2014 in Arkansas, Fayetteville. This experiment was a split plot with 16 different cover crops and 17 residual herbicides. And the herbicides were applied at 1/16 X-ray. So I would like to say here that we're not trying to simulate carryover here, because these herbicides, they will have different half-lives among each other. So most of the herbicides after an entire season will have a smaller concentration than 1/16 X-rays in the soil. So we're not trying to simulate carryover, just trying to identify which cover crop is sensitive or tolerant to a specific herbicide. So this is the list of cover crops that we use in this study. 11 of these cover crops are considered winter cover crops, and the remaining are summer cover crops. In the winter cover crops, we have cereal cover crops, legume cover crops, and brassica cover crops. And this is the list of herbicide used on the study. For the purpose of this presentation, I'm going to talk just about some cotton herbicide used in this study. So we use in this study the ALS herbicides, the PS2 herbicides, the group 5 and 7, group 12, the PPO herbicides, group 14, the chlorosetamines herbicides, and the HPPD herbicides, group 27. So the experiment we're planning was planning on October 24th, and was sprayed on October 25th. And the other day we used a traveling gun to put half an inch of irrigation in this field. The stand accounts were taken 2 weeks after application. Visual assessment of injury were taken 2 and 4 weeks after application. And zero injury means no injury at all. And 100% injury means complete plant death. So the data was analyzed using Jump 11 Pro. The experiment design, like I said before, is a split plot. However, we analyze these data as a completely randomized block because we're not interested in interactions right here. We're just interested in find which cover crop we can plant behind a specific herbicide. So the cover crops with no injury were removed from the analysis. So in the graph that we're going to see in a little bit, I just put the cover crops that was injured by herbicides. And the means were separated using Fisher's Protect LSD. So now we're going to start talking about the results. First thing that I would like to talk is flumeterone. So flumeterone basically injured just broadleaf cover crops, not grass cover crops, and injured 4 winter cover crops and 1 summer cover crop, buckwheat. And the one that was most affected by flumeterone was rapeseed. And the interesting thing about flumeterone is we could see that typical injury caused by PS2 herbicide, which is the yellowing on the leaves and the chlorosis on the leaf and margin. So we can see the picture here. So the next one that I would like to talk is Geron. Geron actually did not injure grasses cover crops as well, but injured some broadleaf cover crops, 2 legumes cover crops, and 2 brassica cover crops. And the one that was most affected by Geron was hairy vetch. Fluridone also did not injure grass cover crop, but it was highly affected on the small-seeded legumes. The smallest seeds that we had in the study was Bursin clover and Crimson clover. Here you can see the picture of Bursin clover treated with fluridone and the control. We can also see difference on the winter weeds. We had a lot of hembit and purple dot nettle here, and we got pretty good control even using 1/16 x rate of fluridone. Flumioxazine, the interesting thing about flumioxazine that flumioxazine injured all the broadleaves winter cover crops, but it also did not injure the grasses cover crops. And the 2 one that was most affected by flumioxazine was crimson clover and rapeseed. And the last one that I'd like to talk about is metallochlor, the chlorosetamine ones. These one had effect on grasses cover crop, mainly on the brown top millet, which is the smallest grass seed that we had in this study. But it also injured some broad-leaved cover crops such as crimson clover, tilled radish, and Pearson clover. So some conclusions about this study. So we failed to reject our hypothesis. So there is some cover crops that's going to be tolerant, and there is some cover crops that are going to be susceptible to determine herbicide. Cereal cover crops are tolerant to low rates of flumeterone, diuron, fluridone, flumioxazine, and trifloxacilferone. Cereal cover crops were sensitive to group 15 herbicides, which was the chlorosetamines. Small seeded broadleaf cover crops were tolerant to trifloxacilferone, so if you see here trifloxacilferone did not injure both broadleaf cover crops and grass cover crops. And broadleaf cover crops were sensitive to flumeterone, diuron, fluridone, and flumioxazine. So with that being said, with all these results that we got that in Fayetteville, I'm not here telling you guys that if you guys spray Valor flumioxazine as a post-emergent or as a post-directed lay-by, you're gonna have carryover on your cover crops. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to evaluate our situation before establish a cover crop. We need to evaluate how, first of all, what we sprayed and how was our year, if we got a good rain or if we suffered drought. So it's determinant that we evaluate our situation before establishing a cover crop. Future research, so we are gonna look at to evaluate carryover of herbicide in corn to cover crops shown immediately after crop harvest. Evaluate termination options for cover crops. Assess the efficacy of cover crops in combination with herbicide for weed control in cotton and soybean. And I would like to thank the University of Arkansas for all the support and the Cotton Corporate for funding my research and all the guys that I work with in Fayetteville, Arkansas. With that being said, I would be glad to answer some questions. The question was why I decided to use 116X rate. Well, we were trying to identify which cover crop are sensitive to determine to some herbicide. So we decided to use a low rate because, like I said before, we're not trying to simulate carryover, but after an entire season, the concentration of the herbicides in the soil is going to be low. So we just tried to use the low rate, 116, but we could use another low rate. But we decided to use the 116 rate just to identify which cover crop is sensitive to determinant herbicide. Yes? The question was the program offered by the USDA, if there is a limit of acreage that the farmers can claim. I don't know. I don't have this information. What I know that they offer this program for 3 years. So the farmer who want to use this program can use by 3 years, receive this funding by 3 years. But I don't know about the limit of acreage. Any more questions?
Any other questions for our speaker? If not, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.